SEO.
SEO, content marketing, blogging, all these things really difficult to understand if you're not in that world, what it is and how to do it effectively. Fortunately, Ken Marshall is here. He's with Revenue Zen and he is the man when it comes to SEO and understanding exactly which strategies help. Now, he does a lot of work with SaaS companies, helping them grow, helping them find the right methods to be able to plug in and actually get inbound leads through your content strategy. And he goes through and he shares a lot of the best tips that he's using right now for his clients. You're going to love this one if you want inbound leads.
Welcome to Scale Your SaaS, the podcast that gives you proven techniques and formulas for boosting your revenue and achieving your dream exit. Brought to you by a guy who's done just that multiple times. Here is your host, Matt Wallach.
And welcome to the show. So excited to have you here. Thank you very much for coming. If you're watching, thanks for watching. If you're listening, thanks for listening. My name is Matt. I am your host, and I am here to help you grow your software company. A lot of people struggle with growth. A lot of people have difficulty with their marketing and getting new leads and growing and closing more deals. We're going to solve all of that. And today, I'm super excited to be joined by Ken Marshall. He goes by Magma as well, which I just found out his nickname. We're going to dive into that. But Ken, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Matt. I am like Ron Burgundy. I'm always wondering what to do with my hands and my face on those intros, but I appreciate it. That was great. Happy to be here.
For sure. So Ron Burgundy, Anchorman, for those of you who haven't seen it or don't know the reference, I just showed that to my kids. My girls are teenagers, just showed it to them. I'm laughing the whole time. I don't think they fully understood the references, but they did realize that some of the quotes from there I've said to them. So they saw where it was coming from, at least. That's good. Ken, let me tell everybody about you so they know who you are. So Ken is the Chief Growth Officer and Managing Partner at Revenue Zen. Revenue Zen is a B2B organic growth marketing agency run by former sales and marketing leaders at high growth startups. Voraciously effective growth strategies that combine SEO, content, and LinkedIn are their expertise. They do a great job of it. And Ken Magma Marshall is the Chief Growth Officer. And he's a partner, and what he does is he battles Google and obsesses over helping brands grow through sustainable SEO and content strategies. He's been doing it for the last 7 years. He's a husband, a coffee addict, a recovering foodie. I got to hear about recovering because I consider myself a foodie, but and a mini Australian Shepherd puppy dad and a serial entrepreneur. He says mostly fails and lots of lessons. Can't wait to learn and dive in. But once again, Ken, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, you got it, man. I'm really excited. And, you know, we might not have enough time. Might have to do two of these, but I'm willing to go wherever you want to take it.
I love it. Well, first things first, tell me about what you've been doing lately and what's coming up.
Yeah, I mean, really, there's a lot of like disparate things. And I mean, it's funny because balancing like the agency, growing that, you know, building out some technology, which I know you're familiar with yourself. And really, like, that's the primary goal. But I also like to do lots of things just for fun. You know, I walk people's dogs on the weekends just for fun. I've got a consulting practice, many other things, like the, you know, build websites, flip them whenever I can. So yeah, all that good stuff, but mostly just focusing on elevating, you know, what it means to even be an organic growth agency, how we responsibly sort of report to our clients on things like return on investment, scaling effectiveness across a team, because most of the deliverables are out of my brain. So all that good fun stuff that a CGO does.
I love it. That definitely sounds like a lot of fun stuff. And I want to know more about Revenue Zen. Like, how did that come to be? What gave you the idea for that?
Yeah, so I'm actually a co-owner, but my company, so my original agency that I started, 5 years ago now, Doorbell Digital Marketing, because I like puns and I like you know, imagery. And so, you know, what's the first intro to somebody's house? You knock on the door, you ring the doorbell. I think marketing should be the same thing. That was acquired by Revenue Zen 2 years ago in February. And so really how this came to be is Alex, shout out to Alex, great guy, founder and the former CEO. Me and him, I actually just met at a sales conference. And I know you're big on that, but we were talking about it. And basically he comes from a finance, Silicon Valley, high growth, you know, startup environment. And I'm just sort of this self-taught, like SEO guy, this, you know, adventurer, a maverick type. And, you know, what I realized was their foundations, their operational like efficiency, their finance background, their connections, mixed with the things that I was able to do, like rank number 2 in the world for B2B SEO agency, SaaS SEO agency. You can go check it yourselves, everybody. That's powerful. It's a powerful combination. And so we sort of just merged those things, like my background and expertise and, you know, innovation brain and their, you know, infrastructure, finance, team culture and operations. And Alex and me hitting it off with, you know, over a beer was the start of all that. And yeah, really, we're just working on building those principles together.
That's fantastic. Now, SEO is something a lot of people, especially if they're founders, they probably created a product or they had an idea for a product. They don't really know a lot about it. What got you into it? You said that you were that SEO expert. What was it? What drove you to that?
Yeah. So for everybody out there, SEO is part black magic, voodoo magic at times. Doesn't have to be like any other marketing channel. As simply as I can put it, it's like I tell everybody, this is how I would explain it to my grandmother. People don't know about you, but some of them would likely want to buy from you to solve their problem if they did know about you. When people start off looking for solutions, they often search. And if they find you and like what's written on your website, they get in touch and give you money. SEO is connecting you to those people. So anyway, that's the long and short of that. But as far as me, I've always been interested in like human interaction, interpersonal communication, a bit of philosophy. I don't know as much as I would like, but I'm very fascinated by it. And but I've got a technical brain. Like I coded for a long time. I thought I'd be an engineer. Wasn't into that. I like people too much. Instead of being in a dark cave with Cheetos and Mountain Dew, sorry to all my engineer friends. And what I realized was after when I was going through college and I even took sales and did business was that a lot of small businesses should disproportionately benefit from local SEO, had no idea how to do it. And nobody that I knew even knew what SEO was when I talked to my friends and some of their parents and things like that. So I always wanted to start a business. I've had small side hustles since I was like 10 years old. And when I know that somebody doesn't know something, I know that I can learn it and probably make it a thing. And so I completely switched focus after my junior year to do that and got to work.
That's awesome. I think it's super important for SEO to be a part of a strategy for so many different companies. Obviously, for some, it's not a good fit, but for a lot of them, it is. And they try to get up there so that people who might want to buy from them can find them, but they're not able to do it. So what do you think are some of the reasons why software companies struggle with SEO?
Sure. So I'll sort of try and keep this concise with the top ones, but the first is misunderstanding of what they want out of the channel. So like a company comes in, their seed stage, we'll talk to, you know, the software founders out there, and they might even be pre-product market fit. They might not have a sales org, and they're like, we need customer acquisition tomorrow, or we're not going to raise that Series A, or we're not going to raise that seed round. We've heard about this SEO thing. Didn't, you know, X, Y, and Z platform do it? Well, yeah, they did it over 7 years and it's working now for them well. And that's a different environment than today's SEO environment and today's algorithm. So number one is understand that, and I always tell people, if you don't want to be doing organic 2 or 3 years into the future from the point you're talking to me, we should end the conversation and I'll introduce you to an outsourced SDR team that I know who can get you, you know, get what you need up, get those revenue metrics, whatever your customer acquisition costs down, then you can play around with the profit and we can talk later. So that's thing number one, misaligned expectations of the channel. Thing number two is not investing in it as a strategy and focusing on tactics, which everyone's heard. But what I mean is let's make the website faster and write some blog posts versus this is our business model. These are our problems, our solutions. Here's how they map to our target customers. And here are the content assets we need to create at every stage of the customer journey to fulfill their needs and get them down into the sales funnel. Tactic versus strategy. So that's big thing number two. And thing number three is they give up too early. It's like running a marathon, but you don't know where the end is, right? The person stops a mile before the end or like a couple hundred feet before they're done. Yeah, so if you don't know what your strategic North Star is, you'll often just say, this didn't work, but really you didn't do the correct implementations, you didn't measure it correctly, et cetera, et cetera. So those are the big ones, I think.
That's the one I see the most, especially with SEO and obviously with a lot of different marketing channels that people might implement, is you give up too soon. You know, it might be doing the right thing. That's something that when they come to me, people say, hey, Matt, I want some help growing. And sometimes when I, you know, analyze what they've done so far, yeah, surely sometimes they're doing the wrong thing. But sometimes they're doing the right thing at the wrong time or the right thing not enough. And yep. So it feels like that persistence is really critical, especially with SEO. I mean, I think we've all seen kind of that graph where it's flat, 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 and then starts to like take off, right? So how do you help a leader kind of understand, hey, you got to stay committed to this thing?
Yeah, I mean, so one of the interesting things is, and you just touched on it, is it's not just about like the time horizon, like horizontally, it's the depth of what you're doing. And generating a piece of content, if you're in an extremely difficult niche where they've built a moat, you know, around the content focus or the topic or the keywords that you want. And so what it is like, it's also not just a random journey that's going to work at some point. You can still have a target CAC, you know, customer acquisition cost. You can still have your leading indicators, your KPI. So like, we need this many impressions for this many keyword rankings from this many users, this many conversions. I think it's just, again, not having that strategic alignment that makes it frustrating. And so what tends to happen with these companies after they've been burned internally or with another agency, they come to us and say, we don't like SEO. We're not sure it works. We've been doing some stuff. And I was like, great, pull up the CRM. Pull up your Google Analytics with event-based conversion tracking. Now, I want to see those metrics, those activities against the metrics. Because if your goal is this, but your KPIs haven't been showing, I would have known that 8 months ago with those initial leading indicators. And so really, like, that level of depth is how you get past that problem, is acute understanding of the strategy, the tactics in between, and the KPIs at every stage that show that, hey, we're going up and to the right for the right reasons. You don't have that problem because you cut the campaign off when the metrics don't align. And if the leading indicators are still going, you keep it moving until, you know, it works. And it, in my opinion, if it's correct for most types of companies that are a good fit for SEO in the first place, it likely can pay off, even if it's indirectly, like helping your sales team convert because the leads are pre-qualified because they looked at the site after they checked your LinkedIn profile, which, spoiler alert, happens from every channel. They check your website. So indirect benefits. Yeah.
So that, by the way, that checking of the website is so funny you say that, because I was just literally speaking to a group earlier. I was invited into a group to speak to a bunch of people who are SaaS founders, and they said, okay, well, and this is, we're going to switch off topic right now and go a little bit into sales, but
do it.
They said, hey, you know, how come, or in my discovery process, I need to sell a little bit of the product in discovery. I'm like, no, don't sell in discovery. My whole thing is like, don't sell in discovery. Okay. You need to learn from them, soak up as much information, get them emotional, and then you sell in the demo. That's where you sell. I'm like, well, no, I need to. I'm like, no, you have a website. Like, who's getting on a call with you and hasn't looked up your website and seen all that? Like, nobody is. Like, that, the website is where you need to do that, but sometimes it takes a little while to sink in. So I totally agree with you there, Ken.
Yeah, I mean, and for at their stage, just real quick, that's an excellent point that isn't at all, that has nothing to do with SEO. Building, you know, a few case studies, your three core solutions, your three core product features, having a place for the demo, if it's a, you know, self-use demo, have a place to get in touch. That's the content strategy in a box for an early stage company that's not ready to work with us or a founder or a consultant or something. Because, yeah, they're going to be more pre-qualified and warmer by the time they get to you. And you don't have to have any strategy to just create those assets. So for anybody out there, like, that's step number one, as far as I'm concerned.
I totally agree. Let's talk about other strategies. What are some of the content marketing strategies that you're seeing working well, that are doing really well for some of your clients?
Yeah, well, I'll keep it as high level as I possibly can. But the first place that I would start out with is, I think, SaaS companies are really good at mapping out like user journeys, but less so of customer journeys with, like, we call it jobs to be done framework. I'm sure some of you have heard of that, but just essentially think at those four stages, right? Awareness, they have a problem. They don't have a solution. They don't even know if there is a solution. Comparison. Okay. There's different types of solutions. Which one works for me and my situation? Decision. Okay, I know the type of solution. Now I know the vendor or the provider or the platform, and then loyalty. So just think to yourself, who the heck am I selling this to or wants to buy this, or the two people, or probably shouldn't be more than two ICPs when you're first starting out, but I digress. And at each one of those, just, you can literally bullet point, what are their top 10 to 20 pains? Okay, write something about it at the awareness stage that educates them. Like you said, discovery is about learning and educating and consulting, in my opinion. It's not about pitching. At the next stage of decision, write some guides about how you're different than your competitors. Maybe a table if you want, like, you know, describing the different features. Decision, product pages with the features, solutions to their needs, whether they're enterprise, whether it's a target industry vertical, just write some stuff. The optimizations come so much later than that basic content strategy. And loyalty, have some documentation. Is there an API they integrate into? You know, make a couple of videos about how to get started. That to me is the central starting place that so many take so long to do, even though, in my opinion, you can do that on a weekend with a six pack of beer. Like, you just need to do it. And then you can work on learning, optimizing, and eventually partnering with somebody if you want to scale past what you can do internally. So I'll stop there. Does that kind of make sense? At least, like, at the bare bones, the content strategy in a box.
Yeah, I love that, because I don't think enough people get intentional enough on that, of looking at the whole AIDA framework and just kind of looking at, you know, different parts of the funnel. Hey, let's look very top of funnel. Let's look middle of funnel. Let's start aiming at bottom of funnel. I don't think enough people focus on it, at least in the early days before they have a team that's helping them. They don't really think about it that way, but it's so powerful when you can, because it really can help a new visitor get a little bit more comfortable and become somebody who starts to digest the information a little bit more, starts to soak up some of the content, starts to learn a little bit more, starts to realize they have a problem, starts to get to a point where they want to take a call and make a decision. So I think when you do it the right way, it's amazing. I've seen it with myself and with some of my clients. When they do it right, it just works. It's a lot of fun when it does, and you start to hit some of those amazing metrics, right?
It's fun to have somebody reach out and, you know, not necessarily completely pre-qualified, but they've got context, and it's not, you don't spend 30 minutes describing to them, like, you know, the basics are for us, like the basics of SEO are on the site. Our philosophy are literally how we think as humans. We have a whole section of our site that's just what we believe about marketing and don't believe. And they don't have to ask all those questions, or it's not boring. We don't have to waste their time on the call, which I consider wasting the prospect's time when I have to describe them. My only job, like you said, learn about them so I can go see if it's a good fit, and then consult if I can a little bit and build some confidence. But the best part about that is, like, that bottom of funnel, those solutions pages, the most, or companies miss those most. They think, you know, a lot of B2B SaaS companies, that you guys are smart, I agree, and you're inventing things, but the jargon that they create around their brand is confusing and destroys conversions and organic traffic inbound at the same time. It's brilliant. So the solutions are a good way to get them outside of that. The jargon's fine. The copy's fine for conversion and user experience. But it's really to say, if you have a, you know, marketing automation tool, is it really helping somebody to reduce customer churn? That's a solution. Is it really helping them improve customer lifecycle or net promoter score, like improve or increase NPS? That's a solution. So that's how to think about the differences. But those pages right there, that's A, where we see most people convert on our website and other people's, in B2B buyer journeys at least. But I guarantee it's similar in B2C. It's just the products are simple, like men's blue shoes. So I would say, if you have a limited content budget, focus on solutions as much as possible, and then they'll buy that, and then you can tell them about the features when they're onboarded, if that makes sense.
It does. It makes a lot of sense. So those are some things to focus on. What are some of the mistakes that you're seeing people making around content, digital marketing, SEO, that are really preventing them from growing and getting to where they want to be?
Sure. The most immediate thing that comes to mind is creating content, like blogging for the sake of blogging. I was looking for the phrase, but blogging for the sake of blogging. Again, it's not magic. It's a human who's consuming this and has to go through that decision-making process and decide they want to do it with you. And so when I see all these companies with hundreds sometimes of blog posts, and I was like, how'd you create these? And they're like, well, it sounds like a keyword. And I was like, well, okay, show me your keyword portfolio and the strategy document. They're like, there is none. I'm like, all right, well, tell me about the writers. We found them on Fiverr. So they're not a subject matter expert. So guarantee the content's garbage, and that's not why it's ranking. But let's keep going. also, there's no strategic through line. What did you expect this to do? Well, generate leads, of course. Well, people don't convert through blogs. That's an education. So you know what I mean? You just walk people backwards. So the number one thing is, don't produce anything without even like an ounce of strategy. And even what I described of analyzing those bullet points at each of those, like, you know, you could do that on the back of a napkin. That's at least a strategy. Somewhat loosely. I think not making relationships with other publications and other business partners. So for all of you out there, you can look up the term backlinks and domain authority, but it's essentially your Google credit score. And you get that by having a trustworthy actual business, having your domains, your website live for a lot of years, and building those relationships and having people mention you. So founders out there, it's not enough to just do PR. Ask to be on a podcast like this. Ask to do, you know, maybe a video joint marketing, write for somebody else on their blog. Those links back to your site, those mentions, that boosts that. And so they have all this good content and keyword targeting, but none of the authority, and you need all three. You know, you need good content, good optimization for the robots, and then good authority. So those are two huge ones that would like dramatically transform most folks. And then the last one would be their website just doesn't perform well. So the new ways that Google thinks about ranking you, judging you, scoring you is about user engagement and the experience of the customer versus these small little technical optimizations that worked 10 years ago. So the website, if you don't have a mobile website, I don't know what the heck you're doing, fire your developer. B, it should be usable by a user on mobile, not just the responsive. It should be better on mobile. It should load quickly, good calls to actions, all that good stuff, social proof, right? So I would also say don't discount the user experience anymore. My big thing.
That's a good one. I love it. As we wrap up here, Ken, what advice would you have to new software founders who are getting started? They're in their early days, or maybe they're in even a growth phase, and they want to implement SEO and content marketing as a strategy. Where should they start?
Yeah, so I'll give two responses. One, or I guess step zero, is to educate yourself a little bit. I think every good CEO, every founder should know a little bit broadly across the organization about every function. The second to that, I would say doing that little, and I don't know if there's show notes, but I'll just sort of quickly recap of whoever you're targeting, think about each step of that journey and don't just say, you know, what's their eye color and, you know, what's their potential religion. I hate those target customer exercises. Think about their jobs to be done. They're at their desk, their boss is yelling at them, or if they're the founder, what's going on? Think what they need to learn, what they need to make a good decision versus you or a competitor, what else in the market, and think about solutions, and then just go create that content. It should take no longer than a week. You have to write it yourself. The word counts, optimizations, they don't matter. Go do that. The third thing I'll say is that the founder, you, the person, your LinkedIn profile is the single most important yet systematically underutilized tool that almost every SaaS company I've ever met has. So about a third of our revenue has sourced from our CEO's profile or mine. I'll say that to start. So what I want you to do is go update your bio, the headline, to be focused on the customer and what's different and unique about you, and then every day, spend 15 minutes writing whatever thought comes to your mind that's interesting and following up with two people and engaging with their posts that are either a partner or a potential customer. And tell me what happens after 9 months. That's all I got to say for the founders out there.
I love that. It's great advice. I actually teach a whole kind of course on LinkedIn, and that's a big part of it is, you know, you got to make sure you have the right bio. You got to make sure you engage. It's really important. So definitely everybody follow Ken's advice, like he just said, and we'll make sure to put that stuff into the show notes as well. But Ken, this was awesome. Now, how I want to make sure everybody can reach out and get in touch with you. How should they learn more about you or Remedy Zen?
Yeah. So you can, you know, type in Ken Magma in your browser. You'll find me on LinkedIn. I'm writing stuff all the time. I love to chat with folks. Or if you go to the website, revenuezen.com, and so all the stuff we're talking about, like social selling, B2B SEO, I've written guides on there that everything I know is written on our website. So go look at that or just get in touch. I still take sales calls. I still do consultations for free. It keeps me sharp, but it's also to make sure that we're a good fit because we don't work with anybody that we shouldn't.
That's genius. I like that. But this has been awesome. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing everything.
Yeah, man. Thank you. These are great questions, and I'm glad I can, you know, people can get things out of my ramblings.
Oh, for sure. Lots of great stuff. So thanks for coming. And everybody out there, thank you for coming. Thanks for watching and listening. Really appreciate it. Make sure you are subscribed to the show. You don't want to miss out on any other awesome creators and people who are helping you grow like Ken is. So make sure you're subscribed. You won't miss any of the good stuff. Thanks for coming, and we will see you next time. Take care.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Scale Your SaaS. For more help on finding great leads and closing more deals, go to mattwallach.com.